All right, good to see all of you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for our brothers who've shared with us tonight. Let us in worship. You alone are worthy of our praise, and we adore you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for all that you do, that we might have life and real joy in life. So, Lord, tonight as we begin, we think about all of those who are part of our church and who have all kinds of needs and physical needs, and we think about those in our church who have lost loved ones recently and others who are going through struggles in their jobs and situations in their families, and just all of the various needs and burdens that our people carry. So we present them to you. We know that you are the one that can be trusted with these things. And so, Lord, tonight we pray that you would meet us here in your word in the middle of the week, in the middle of the busyness and the chaos of life and all the noise and all the activities. Lord, we pray that you would help us tonight to be prepared to hear your word. And so we start tonight by coming to you and confessing our sins so that we might, as your people, hear from the Holy Spirit and be freed to sense and know what you have to say to us. So, Lord, we think about the days we have, and we only have today. We've used this day in different ways. For some, it's not been a good day. It's been a wasted day in some ways. For others, it's been the best of days. So, Lord, however we find ourselves as we come tonight, we know that you'll meet us in your word if we have ears to hear and if we are listening and hearing your word. You give us more as we seek you and as we seek your word, and you help us to understand. So forgive us when we have strayed away. Forgive us when we've moved in our minds and attitudes to places that are not honoring to Jesus, and what we say and what we do is not pleasing to you, and we're not living in righteousness. We pray that you would forgive us of our sin, and that you would, again tonight, help us to understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good evening. Good to see all of you. Psalm 119, we're looking in verses 137 to 144, and we will be here tonight, and then we have one, two, three, four, five more, four more sections that we'll be looking at in Psalm 119, and we will have finished Psalm 119. So as I look around, some of the hearty souls and minds in here, you've walked the Psalm 119 path with me, and here we are, and so we've made it. Longest psalm in the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible, and I can say to you that you will find in Psalm 119 so much that will help you in your own personal life as you grow spiritually, and also help you in your prayer life. There is to me somewhat of, I call it an ascent, a development, a growth in obedience that I see through Psalm 119. Each of the sections begin with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So we're going through the Hebrew alphabet, and so all of the first words in each of the section start with that letter, that particular letter from that section. And so there's some just memorable things here. So I look at this as the ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T, the ascent of obedience, the development, the growth in obeying God and obeying God's word. So we come to words of great maturity here in verses 137 to 144. That for some tonight might seem a little puzzling. You might not agree with what Psalm 119, 137 says, because I believe with all my heart that the mature Christian has the opportunity to praise and adore God in his perfect character and also in his perfect ways. And so for some people, they're not happy with God, and they question God's ways and works in their life and in the world. And there are a lot of evil, horrible things going on in the world, and many would say, how can a righteous God allow such things to go on? Well, I will say what David said here. Righteous are you, O Lord. Did you hear the words? No matter what is in the world, no matter what is happening in your personal life, no matter what struggles or physical issues or difficulties or the number of people who die today, who starve, who suffer, who struggle, are you listening? Are you listening to the Word of God? The Bible says, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. So only the mature, only those who have walked the path of obedience and obeying God in hard times. You see, to obey God means you must obey God when it's not easy. You must obey God when everybody else chooses not to obey God. You must obey God and what His Word says for you to do. Give thanks for all things, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You got to obey. Bless those who curse you. You have to obey. So as we talk tonight, I'm trying to prepare you to understand that for some of us tonight, we will enter into this section, and if you've already flipped ahead, you can see we're going to talk about God is righteous and God's Word is righteous, and then we're going to talk about how we obey a righteous God and His righteous Word. But I begin tonight by reminding us of these words of maturity. Even in the darkest times of suffering, death, troubles, and pains, you are righteous, O Lord. He is righteous. Now, if you know anything, and I look around, we got a lot of very knowledgeable Bible people in here, others who are starting out, but we have a lot of, you know, may I use this term? So if you're one of those and you've studied and you're aware of what are called sometimes the attributes of God, the various characteristics of God's nature, His love, His grace, His mercy, His holiness, His omnipresence, His immutability, I can go on. We come to the core here, however, when we come to righteousness, because in the Word of God, we're going to discover tonight, not only in Psalm 119, but I would run out of time going to all of the references that describe for us the righteousness of God. So what do we do with this word, righteous? If we were all speaking Hebrew, we would discover that the word for righteousness begins with this letter, sedet, and this word is the word righteous, and the word righteous is used five times in these verses. So remember, as we've learned together, you link words together, you link phrases together, you connect them, and you look at the story. The story of Psalm 119, 137 to 144 is a praise of God and His righteousness. So, Pastor Mike, what does it mean? What is the Hebrew word for righteous? Well, here it is. It means right. That's what the word means. Right. Right. God is always right. Are you hearing me tonight? God is always right. So, righteous are you. God, you are always right. You are upright in all your judgments. What you allow to, what you permit to happen in this world, to this very hour, to this very day, righteous are you, Lord. You are right. So we start by learning that God is always right. Now, I've given you three ways that we understand God's rightness. God is right in His character, that is, in His being. In the nature of God, there is only one way to be. He is right. God is right. There is no wrong in God. There is nothing in the nature of God's being that has anything to do with sin or wrongness. He is right. And so the righteousness of God is at the foundation, is at the core of all of the quality and character and attributes of God. God is righteous in what he says, in his words. And that's what we're going to see tonight. A righteous God speaks in righteous ways. A righteous God acts in righteous ways, which may to the world and even to his children appear to be unrighteous. But he is righteous. God is always right. He is always right. Don't forget it. He's always right, even though we don't understand how it could be. Now, I want to give you an example of this from the life of a prophet who suffered greatly. In Jeremiah, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. And for just a moment, I want to illustrate this. I didn't have it in your notes, but this is important for me to make this point as we think about God's righteous character, which leads to God's righteous words, which leads to God's righteous works or acts. So we read these words, Jeremiah, who also gave us Lamentations, who saw the absolute rebellion of the nation of Israel against all that God would have them to do in all of their rebellion. We read these words, and it's the prayer of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12. Righteous are you. Does that sound familiar? Well, it's the same Hebrew phrase. Righteous are you, O Lord. Same exact phrase as Psalm 119, 137. Now listen to what he says. Here's a righteous prophet praying to a righteous God about wicked and unrighteous people and things and situations. Righteous are you, O Lord, that I would plead my case with you. Indeed, I would discuss matters of justice with you. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? So now we have our prophet asking the question. You ever prayed that prayer? Why does it seem like everything in my life is unraveling? Lord, I'm following you. I'm doing everything you want me to do. My life's coming apart. Look at these people who hate God. They're just having a big time. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease? I mean, they're lying, they're cheating, they're stealing, and they're going to the house and they're all relaxed, having a great time. They got no pain, they're at ease. You have planted them. They have also taken root. They grow. They have even produced fruit. You are near to their lips, but far from their minds. He's describing You let these people be settled in. You don't do anything about it. Verse 3, but you know me, O Lord. You see me, and you examine my heart's attitude toward you. And then, of course, he prays. Drag them off like sheep for slaughter. Set them apart for a day of carnage. How long is the land to mourn and the vegetation of the countryside to wither? For the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Animals and birds have been snatched away because men have said, he will not see our latter ending. And yet Jeremiah says, righteous are you, O Lord. So for some of you today, you've come in here today and you have an opinion about world history or situation in America or something happening in your family or at your job or business, and you are tempted to say, where is God? Only those who have obeyed and walked with God for a while will be able to understand and truly say, righteous are you, O Lord, when you get the news from the doctor. Righteous are you, O Lord, when you get the bad news about something that's happening in your family. righteous are you, O Lord. This is an important thing for all of us who walk with God. And it only comes over time. It comes as we learn to obey God. So let's think about this phrase. Let's think about God and His righteousness. Look at Psalm 97:6 for just a moment. And notice what the Bible tells us about this quality of God's righteousness. 97:6. It's important for us to see this because it teaches us some things about His qualities and characters. The heavens, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround Him. Listen, here it is, verse 2. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. The two Hebrew words for righteousness and justice are so very close, but they have different qualities. Rightness and justice are the foundation of the throne. To understand the reign of God, you must understand at the core of His character, His righteousness and justice. Lord, what are you doing in this world? I'm being righteous. That's what I'm doing, Mike. That's what I'm doing. I'm being righteous. I'm being righteous toward the righteous, and I'm being righteous toward the unrighteous. And I'm being just toward the righteous, toward the unrighteous. We read on. Fire goes before Him and burns up His adversaries round about Him. His lightnings light up the world, lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. Remember this poetic way to describe the awesomeness and power of God in creation. And at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare His righteousness, and all the peoples have seen His glory. Did you hear heaven declaring God's righteousness when you came in tonight? Well, when you get up in the morning, go outside and listen. The heavens declare. It's a present tense verb. The heavens continue to declare. What? His righteousness. His rightness. Everything else is wrong, but God is right. Are you with me tonight, church? Are you hearing me? I'm trying to exhort you. You need what I'm trying to tell you tonight. You're going to need it this week. By the way, did you know you're older today than you've ever been? Now, I say that for a reason to this church. I'm not a fool and I'm not old. Well, I am old. But you need to know you're older today than you've ever been. What you had yesterday is not enough. You got to walk with God today. And if you have so much and I have so much as another day, I got to have God for tomorrow. If I have a tomorrow. Right now, I've just got right now. So I'm going to say it to you again. His throne is established on righteousness and judgment, and the heavens say one thing. God is right. God is always right. God is always right. No matter what telescope takes you to whatever part of the created order, God is always right. God is always right. Take it home and remember, God is always right. So then we read in Psalm 89:14, this important verse, and it's another one of these phrases. Your righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Notice, I wanted you to see it. Twice we've read it. Loving kindness and truth go before you. Look at the beauty of that in describing the character of God. In His attributes. He is right all the time, just all the time. Wait a minute. Loving all the time and truthful all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God for our God. How great is our God? Righteous, just, loving, truthful. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, O Lord. They walk in the light of your face, in the light of your countenance. Well, also we learn in Psalm 96:13 something else very important. And I should have had you look there before we switch back. But go to Psalm 96:13. Before the Lord, For let me go back up to verse 11. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that contains. Let the field exult and all that's in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. So he is righteous and he is judge. And then we read in Psalm 119, 142, which is in our section for tonight, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. God is eternally right. How's that? He's eternally right. He was right from the beginning. He's right to the ending. All of what we have. And he's right beyond our days. He's right. For he is the one who has existed for all time, beyond time, for eternity. He is the eternal God, no beginning, no ending. He is the right one who's always been right and always will be right. Amen? God is right. You know, so sometimes people get in debates and arguments and in the family and somebody's saying this, that, and the other. They're saying this and they're making this point. And finally somebody, well, they're right. No, God is always right. God is always right. So when you get your news, whatever it is, when you watch the news, whatever it is, God is always right. God is always right. Here's even a better thing. Jesus is always right. Because Jesus Christ is the righteous one. I want you to go and look at this amazing prophecy. We looked at it during Christmas, but I want you to go back to Jeremiah 33, and we read these amazing words from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 33, 15. And here we read, behold, verse 14, the days, Jeremiah 33, 14, behold, days are coming. In the midst of everything falling apart in Jeremiah's day, and all of Israel turning its back on God, and being living in rebellion and being taken over and taken captive and hauled away to the nations. Behold, days are coming. Jeremiah points to the future, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Remember, God is always right and God always says good things. He always says right things. In those days, at that time, I will cause, wait a minute, a righteous branch of David. A righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. The Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Having both his first coming and second coming included in that, and for another time we'd have to take that apart. But I want you to see and think about Jesus in his righteousness. Jesus is always right. Jesus is eternally right. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. We read the Bible so often for what we need for ourselves. We don't read it in order to honor God and praise the Lord. But if you read carefully 1 John 2, 1, we run ahead quickly and read this, and I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. That's where we stop. Praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody who stands up for us and says to the Lord, these are my children, they believed on me. We have an advocate with the Father. But finish the verse. Jesus Christ, the righteous. You can't get any better than that. Jesus is always right. Did you hear me? Jesus is always right. I follow Jesus. I stand before you unashamed. I follow Jesus. Jesus is always right. You got to say that to your friends when they mock you. Jesus is always right. I'm going to do what Jesus said for me to do. Jesus is always right. He is the right one. He is the righteous one. Oh, so much could be said about this. This is where the teacher, the preacher gets frustrated. 1 Corinthians 1:30 is one of those amazing verses. It's unbelievable because we read these words, and I'd like for you to turn there. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus is for us our righteousness. Wait a minute. So God, who is always right, and the Lord Jesus, God made flesh, is always right, and we can be made right? I can't believe that could be true. But we can. Please notice what 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but by his doing. This is when Paul's talking about the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. God has chosen, verse 27, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and saves people like me. I'm just talking about Mike Miller here. Foolish things of the world to shame the world. God's chosen the weak things of the world and the base things of the world, the things that are not, that he may nullify the things that are, so that no one boasts before the Lord, but by his doing, by salvation, by believing on Jesus, by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. We become mystically, spiritually connected to Jesus when we believe on him. I do not know how it works, but it's true. We are connected to him, he to us, who became to us, who are followers of Jesus. Wisdom from God and rightness and sanctification and redemption. The righteousness that we gain, you know, some of us in this room know this, we teach it, imputed righteousness. If you go to the bank, you put your check in, they take your money, and they impute it to your account. They put it over and credit your account. We're credited with righteousness because of Jesus' righteousness, his rightness at all times. And listen now, though I experience imputed righteousness, I also know that God expects for me to live a holy, righteous life by the Holy Spirit. Not just say, well, bless God, I'm righteous. Hey, I can do whatever I want. I'm under grace. Let's just go live it up. I got the imputed righteousness of Jesus. I'm good to go. No. No, because when I am saved and born again, the Holy Spirit puts the want to in me to be like Jesus. I want to do right like him. Are you listening to me? Holiness of life, holiness of living, righteous living is what God calls us to. So in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus was made sin so that we could become the righteous of God. Romans chapter 4 is that great chapter about Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him as to righteousness. The same principle is true for all of us who believe. You are here tonight if you have believed on Jesus, and you have been made righteous because of the always right one, Jesus. Aren't you glad Jesus is always right, church? Aren't you glad? We worship and honor, we serve, we follow the one who is always right. I want to follow somebody who's always right. And that's certainly not any world leader or religious leader or anybody else I know. I want to follow who's right. And his name is Jesus, the righteous one. So when you pray, and you say to the Lord, and you go to this wonderful psalm. You see, we pray as believers in Jesus. Your understanding of righteousness is greater than even the psalmist. You understand, you have the rest of what happened on this side of the cross and the resurrection. You now declare, when you say, righteous are you, O Lord, you speak of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You speak of the triune God who is absolutely right in all of his being, in all of his ways. I'm going to get worked up here if I keep going, so I got to go on now. God's word is righteous, all right? Now let's look at this. Let's go back. Verse 138, you have commanded your testimonies in righteousness. That was verse 1. We finished verse 1. Now we're going to go to verse 137. We'll go to 138. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. So when we think about God's word, we see God's word as righteous. We read later in this verse, this beautiful statement in 140, your word is very pure. Pure. The purity of God's word. The rightness of God's word. God's word is right. God's word is pure. And, oh, by the way, verse 144, your testimonies are righteous forever. They are eternally right. God's word is eternally right. Psalm 119, 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. And Jesus said, Matthew 24, 35, don't forget this. Don't forget about his red letter words. Don't forget about it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I say it to you all the time, like my preacher friend, Brother Phil, says, Brother Mike, you think we'll be studying the Bible in heaven? Yes, we will. Because these are eternal words. Are you listening to me tonight? This is better than anything you can read. So I'm going to ask you. Here I go now. I'm getting ready to meddle. Where's your Bible when you go home? You know, we got a bunch of, by the way, I think what I'm going to do someday is, we got this, I guess it's become like a Bible, it's like a rack to put your Bible in to come to church, and you can pick it up on your way in and leave it on your way out. I'm tempted to go in there on that Bible rack, now I'm just fooling now, I'm not being mean, and look up everybody's names, Bibles that's in their Bible. You know, those Bibles all have names in them. I was looking through them the other day. Maybe I ought to put a list out in the bulletin that says, by the way, your Bible that you've been leaving at church is sitting right out here, and here's your names. No, I'm not going to do it. Some of you may go out there and look and say, oh my, is my Bible out there? I'm just asking what you do with your Bible. Do you have any time to read your Bible? You know, well, Brother Mike, like one fellow said to me, you know, when you get older, Brother Mike, you'll have time to read your Bible. I don't have a lot of time to read my Bible. This is a fellow who goes to church. I thought, really? You don't have time to read your Bible. That's interesting. Who's giving you your wisdom? You think you got enough to make it? This is a young guy. You know, young people always know more than old people. Have you ever noticed that? It's true. If all old people just get out of the way, man, the world would be like heaven on earth, wouldn't it? Yeah. What are you doing with your Bible? I beg and plead with you. Start the day with it. End the day with it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. That's why we do disciple life. That's why we, you know, sometimes I'll talk about disciple life with our church and talk to some of our people who've never been to disciple life, who've been in this church a long time, and they kind of grin, smile at me, kind of like, well, okay, Brother Mike, that, you know, like, okay, you know, that's okay, Brother Mike. God bless you. That's okay. That's all right. I really don't need any of that stuff. You know, I'm good. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. Your word is eternal. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. So, as I've asked you before, how do you meditate on the words of Jesus? So, here was my words that I meditated on today for Jesus. I'm giving an example. You know, every day I try to pick a saying of Jesus and take it with me when I'm driving, take it with me when I'm going doing my work. He who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know the phrase you know the two words I focused on in my meditating today? Humble myself. Humble yourself, Mike. Humble yourself. These are eternal words. You're older today than you've ever been, and I promise you, you need God's word every day. You need it every day. And I pray that you will hear what I'm saying. I'm going to read it another place for you. I didn't give you this in the notes. 1 Peter chapter 1. We looked at this on Sunday night when we were in 1 Peter many moons ago. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me just read it for the sake of time. As you have been born not of seed which is perishable, you were born again of seed which is imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. And then he quotes from Isaiah, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord," are you listening, "endures forever." God's word is always right. Now, if I want to find out what's right to do, I'm not going to go call up and Google it. I'm going to read my Bible and find out what God says I ought to do. I have such a simple way of living, don't I? I'm such a simple person. Maybe because so long I tried to live the other way. So God is always right. And God's word is always right. So therefore, what do I do? Quickly, here it is on one page. I've just taken you through the entire psalm, done it for you, did a little word study for you. Here's an example of how you can study your Bible. You go through and you find a word and you locate every time that word is there. Some of you are saying, "Brother Mike, we know all this." Well, then do it. If you know how to do it when you study your Bible. So here's all the times. Apparently, frequency, the whole point of the rightness of God is very important in Psalm 119. It's tied to our obedience. I'm obeying someone who's right all the time. See, this is the implication for walking with God. I'm going to obey. You know, I had to obey my father and my mother, and they weren't always right. But I was supposed to obey them. Now I come to this challenge of obeying the one who's always right. And so I obey God, who is always right, the Lord Jesus, who's always right, the Holy Spirit, who's always right, God and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then the words he has given us. So what do I do? Psalm 119:7. Let's just go through them quickly, and we'll be finished. "I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments." You know what a righteous judgment is? Here's what it is. God says, "This is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm not going to do." Somebody says, "Lord, how come my family couldn't be like their family?" It's a righteous judgment of God. That's the answer. "How come I couldn't be taller or shorter?" Okay, you got genetics. I get all of that. God has something to do with our birth. It's the righteous judgment of God. We were born in America. We were born in America. As bad as you may think it is, have you traveled anywhere else in the world? We're born in America. The righteous judgment of God allowed you to be born in this country, and you're a follower of Jesus in this country. What do we do with that? We have great and high responsibilities. To whom much is given, much is required. Preaching to the choir. 62:62. "At midnight I shall rise up to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances." At midnight I'll rise up to give thanks to you because you've done good things for me. Is that what it says? No. I'm going to rise up at midnight and thank God for his word, because his word is always right. So some of you, like me, when you wake up at midnight tonight, before you do whatever you have to do, thank God for his word. Verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous." Submission to God's word. Okay, "I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous." The sickness that's in my family, the trouble in my family, the difficulties that have come in my life, the struggles, the things that have happened in my church, the things that have happened, I know that your judgments are right. That's submission. That's the language of submission. Obedience. 106. We see here in 106, "I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances." Waiting on God. 123. "My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word," or your promise. My eyes fail. I just keep watching. I keep waiting. I keep waiting on your word. I keep waiting on your promise. I keep waiting. We wait. You know, we talked last week, if you were here with us, about praying. Jesus said, watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. And I talked to you about three ways that in your praying time, you should pause long enough to watch. Watch within. Watch without. And watch for Jesus. Now that sounds, in 2016, you'd expect an old 60-year-old preacher who's about half crazy to still be talking about watching for Jesus. You know what? You better be watching for Jesus. No matter what Dr. Seuss has tried to say theologically to you, Jesus said, I'm coming again. I hope you're listening. Did you wake up this morning and think, you know, I got a busy schedule. Man, look at my calendar. It is so full. I can't believe I set all these dates. I got to do all of this. Oh, Jesus might come today and blow the whole thing up. Jesus is coming again. So we wait on that blessed promise. A God who is right is always right. His word is always right. We thank him for it. We submit to it. We obey it. We wait. We praise him. Psalm 137. You saw it. Righteous are you, O Lord. There's zeal when we follow the Lord. It stirs us up when we serve God. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words. We love God's eternal word, but lots of people, they think it's a joke. They think this is the biggest waste of time. Why would you do this tonight? I mean, you're smart people. You're going to go read an old Bible, a bunch of words, and do what? You know, you're smart people. Zeal stirs us up. Zeal for God's word. The Holy Spirit, as we obey him, we are zealous for good works, as we're reminded in the New Testament. And then, of course, love for God's word, 140. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves your word. Loving the word. Love, these words matter. You know, taking the time, the precious time to sit at home, to get up earlier, to go to bed later and say, here are these words. Every one of these words matter. Every word matters because every word helps me understand the eternal rightness of God and what God's words are to me. You know, some of you men in here, when your wives used to write you love letters, you've read them over and over and over. You need to get them out and read them again. You linger on those words. Some of you are acting like your wife never wrote you a love letter. Oh, come on, surely she did. Okay. If she did, you've kept them to this very day, and you open them up and you look at them. Why, she may have even put perfume on the letter. You smell that perfume. Some of you need to go home and say, honey, would you write me a love letter tonight? I've never had one. When you love God's word, you linger over every word. Every word matters. And then humility. 141. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. And then finally, delighting and understanding. Here we are. Here's this emotion. We've seen it over and over again. There's emotions that come. God's word stirs up holy emotions. You know, if you want to get rid of the negative emotion in your life, spend time in the right eternal word of God. It will help you to say things like this: your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. So what a good way to end tonight. Give me understanding that I may live. Why? How is that, Lord? How is it? Because your testimonies are always right. Amen? So when you open your Bible tonight. You know, I didn't finish my story. What do you do with your Bible? Is it in the back of your car, in the back window? I saw one the other day. I was at the McDonald's, my regular place where I eat, and this Bible was back there, and the cover was all bent and thrown up like this, and it was back in the back window, just thrown up there. There's the Bible. Has it got French fries and ketchup on it? Have you lost track of where it is? Is it out here in our Bible reserve reading rack out here? Well, you know, I'm going to say it to you again. You know, Wednesday nights, I'm just trying to be your pastor. You know what? You get out of something what you put in it. Did you know that? I learned that a long time ago. If I don't want to walk with God, if I don't have time to read my Bible, well, Pastor Mike, everything in my life's a mess. You get out of what you put in it. You going to coast? You going to coast? Or you going to be a follower of Jesus? That's where we are. So tonight we honor the one who is eternally right and who has spoken eternally right words. Oh, and this is the hard part. Who does everything in this world eternally right, even though we don't understand it. Isn't that true? It's the mystery. So maybe we pray like Jeremiah. Lord, who am I to come before you and ask anything? You're the righteous judge. But he still made his prayer. So we pray. God bless you all. I love you in Jesus. Thank you for being here tonight. And we'll see you Sunday. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to your word tonight.